You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Have you seen these memes, maybe on Instagram or Facebook or whatever you are looking at, that talks about the history of the world, that the world, actually the universe, the Big Bang was like some, what was it there? 13.82 billion years ago. The age of the Earth is 4.54 billion years. The age of mankind is only 200,000 years as we all come out of Africa. That we didn't exist before 200,000 years. That seems a little odd. Okay, let's go with it. The age of the God concept is maybe about 10,000 years old. People start thinking about, hey, where do we come from? The mother God concept, 8,000 years ago. Hinduism, 6,000 years old. Zoroastrianism, I can't even say that one. So I'll skip it. Judaism, 4,000 years old. Christianity, about 2,000 years old. And it goes on and on, where religions are coming more recently. And as a, therefore, conclusion of this meme is, therefore, various gods are created by man at various periods, so therefore God is man's creation. I'm like, so when the universe was created, when the Earth was created, and these planets are flying around each other, they're following the law of physics, a law that man didn't actually recognize as existing until man was smart enough to understand it. How do you recognize something you don't understand? That is our point, is that you can destroy or try to destroy something by coming up with a whole logical, or at least what you are claiming is a logical progression, but then you make an absolute illogical conclusion in order to destroy something that you don't believe in. So the point is not whether religion, God, any of that, the belief structure and spirituality, how real it is to each of us. It's just to point out that we can't recognize things until we have the capacity and capability of understanding them. The universe is so complex. What happened before, quote, the Big Bang? It's theoretical. Even the Big Bang, we have ideas of what happened. Yes, the smart scientists have ideas and theories of what happened. But again, physics has existed forever, for 4 billion, 12 billion, who knows, before the Big Bang, because everything that they're relating to the universe, they're basing it upon theories that we know today that were around 12 billion years ago and before. So all these things, these laws of the universe existed whether or not the universe existed. We exist within a set of laws and rules in some amazingly complex, hard to understand universe. Call that spirituality. Call that a belief. The belief of what this is, this place we're in. So today we're talking about,
what is this?
What
topic
are we talking about? we're talking about survival and how, as we learn more and more about ourselves, as we have access to the internet, as we have calculators and AI, how we are isolating ourselves, we're attacking each other, and we're losing some of that basic survival skills. So today's show, we're going to talk about the five basic needs of humans, the erosion of survival skills, and what kind of steps we can take to strengthen human resilience and our survival instincts. something I found very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I do utilize sometimes AI to help me coordinate stuff. But then when I look at my notes and I look what it tries to do, it's almost like it's fighting against me sometimes. Because I put stuff in my notes that I have to come back to and go to because the presentation creation it erodes some of the ideas. And that was one of the things we talked about, is that our reliance upon AI for things. I was quoting this test I did the other day. I was telling somebody that I fed to AI a question. Hey, can you determine to me the four basic types of safety glass as far as when it comes to fires, their benefits, how they differ, what's available out there? And it came back with this really well-written piece about fire-rated glass. Only one out of the four things that it mentioned, though, was correct. The other three, it was providing really good details and information, but it was incorrect as far as safety, as far as UL testing, as far as things that were life-saving. It was almost like it can do a really good job, right? It does a really good job in formatting and presentation, but what's there behind the information, who checks that stuff?
Nobody.
So another
AI say it's right.
And then AI creates new information. And then you've heard about this, where AI creates information, and then another AI comes and grabs the information that other AI created. And now it's building information upon information upon information. And we have so much information out there. Who is there to check to see if that information is correct? And if we don't know if it's correct or not, this is what I call an erosion of our survival skills. When we rely upon something else, something that has no inherent reason to keep the human being species alive, AI doesn't care whether we live or die. So why does it care about our basic instincts to survive? It doesn't. So one of the things I wanted to compare it to was the calculator. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, the pocket calculator came out, and there was a fear that kids were going to lose the ability to add and subtract, multiply and divide. And how and how real is that? So we learned a lot of stuff in our heads, because I remember third grade, you had to learn the addition subtraction table. You started learning multiplication tables. And, you know, to this day, there are things you just think about, they pop into your head because you learn them. And what I mean by learn, you memorized. Mm-hmm. You may actually on paper be able to add things, but you have to know that 7 and 5 is 12 in order for you to add it on the paper or in your head. They did studies, and I have two studies that I looked at. One was done by like the National Educational Testing Service, where they tested students with and without calculators on tests. And the kids who used the calculators got the tests done quicker. They were able to put the information into the calculator and get answers. But when those calculators were taken away, they got many of the answers wrong. So they relied upon the calculator to give them the right answer, but they didn't know if the calculator was correct. So it turns out that later on, and there's studies that show young kids between first and third grade who were taught the calculator, those between fourth and seventh, and those in high school had different understandings of whether or not they knew the math. The young kids, the ones who knew the math, the calculator was hard to manipulate, and so they were actually getting more questions correct when they didn't know how to operate the calculator. But as soon as they started to learn the calculator and rely upon it, they were only getting things correct with the calculator. And then later on, there was studies that showed that some of the more complex math out there, you don't use a calculator. You have to know how to do things mathematically. And if your brain isn't programmed, isn't trained, you don't have those pathways of doing the simple math and building upon it with the algebra and the other stuff and learning geometry, which you can't calculate geometry, you have to do it. You have to understand how the angles work, the laws and the theories, that structure in your brain, that when you develop those pathways, allow you to build more stuff on it, and then it allows you to actually check the calculator. I told you the story. I went to school for engineering, and I was pretty good in engineering. I went to a physics test, and I forgot my calculator. There are 600 students, I believe, in this giant auditorium, and I may be exaggerating. It might have been 200, but it was a big, open auditorium, all these desks, and you had to fill out this thing, and you had like 100 multiple choice questions you had to do. And the kids sat down and they started doing this test. And I didn't have my calculator. So I just set up the problems. I crossed out variables. And then I saw which answer was closest to the one I came up with, you know, using my head calculations. And I did my test. And I was the first out of all those students to leave the room. Now you could say, oh, that's really smart. Or, you know, maybe...
You pass?
I got an A. But the point I'm making is, if you know how to set the problem up correctly, you would then know, is the calculator correct? Because you could get an answer with a calculator punching numbers in, adding, subtracting, dividing.
Yeah.
And the number that shows up may not be correct. But it in the multiple choice test, the teacher said that the wrong answers were also in the test. And those wrong answers were based upon hitting the wrong sign on the calculator. If you hit multiply rather than divide, well, that answer's there in the test. So they would do that to make your number in the calculator show up in the answers, even if it was incorrect. So they were trying to trick people.
Yeah.
And, oh, the calculator said this, there's the answer, but it was wrong. But if you set it up and you didn't actually have the calculator and you set it up correctly, you could come to the right answer. So knowing how to do the math and being able to use the calculator is important. When it comes to AI, understanding how AI can help, but understanding if the information that the AI is presenting is correct is really important.
And the point also, not just the AI is correct or not, so the human being, how the brain start to lose the capacity to looking for stuff, to do stuff, because you have everything easy by touching, you know?
And we become lazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, we become lazy. No matter what age we are, we tend to not want to work if we don't have to.
Yeah.
And when we talk about survival skills, those are have-tos. In order to learn a survival skill, you have to do it. It's something that is with us. In innate. I did another thing that I was looking at with personality traits and looked at agreeableness and extroversion and openness to new experience, as well as neuroticism and conscientiousness. And I looked at all those personality traits and I said, are these are the big five that they always talk about. These are direct results of the human species going through survival of the fittest. Working together to survive, agreeableness, having to move to a new area because this one is, there's a climate change and you have to move, openness to new experience, agreeableness we just talked about. But how about somebody who's not agreeable? They're very angry and mean. You know, how about aggressiveness? That's not a personality trait, but is aggressiveness good or bad? Well, in the days of survival, you needed someone aggressive to scare away those people.
Yeah.
That you needed somebody who might have been an introvert who could maybe think about how to solve something, while somebody who was aggressive would protect the little tribe, while the other person who wouldn't like be as aggressive, or maybe not be an extrovert, was able to do something else. So these people had to get along. Conscientiousness was responsibility, was maybe attention to detail, was trustworthy, integrity. So these things are survival remnants, remnants of our own survival as a species that has kept us going. And when we feel threatened by outside sources, AI, isolation maybe because of social media, COVID-19, all these things can, just people on the internet going at each other. And we'll talk more about social media in a little bit when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to Survival of the Fittest with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about the five basic needs, erosion of survival skills, and steps to strengthen human resilience and survival instincts. The threat of AI, the threat of social media, the threat of today's society, and how people have access to more information, but no less than they ever did before. And I say that generally, because there are many people who actually do the research, they're doing the testing, they are doing the analysis. And so there is the ability to have access to more information, but we also have the ability to be overwhelmed and buried under a pile of too much information. Do you agree?
Also, sometimes the fake information. So that's just the other side. It's difficult to filter in this system.
Which is real and which is not.
Yeah.
And
or it's a little exaggerated. It's like the marketing, you know, you want to put the data, statistic, but the way that you want to sell something is almost like the marketing.
And what's interesting is you can look at these biased news stations and they tell the same story from two different sides. And when you look at the information they're presenting, they can both be correct. And so the people who follow them can be watching. And even though these are hand-picked points that this group is making and hand-picked points this group is making, they never want to, you know, they never want to support the other side. They never want to tell it evenly. When I say they, there's some news stations and magazines and papers that do a really good job of evenly reporting. If you find one, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to be out there somewhere. In fact, let us know if you find one that you say, hey, this is really reliable. The point is, the media today wants to get viewership. They're not there to inform. They're there to gain market share and make money.
And the way that you do the news or the title or the information is for more people follow versus the real history.
One is for more people to follow. Two is to get the biggest advertising bucks you can.
Yeah.
So if your advertisers are pharmaceutical companies and some of the big aircraft companies that also make military equipment, well, guess how you're going to be telling your stories?
Yeah.
You would hope that wouldn't happen, but I can understand why. Your shareholders, your bosses, the companies that actually own you, are paying, it's money, it's commercial, right? It's a commercial thing. That's not what we're talking about today, but it's part of the problem or issue. So the first need we're gonna talk about as humans is the need for human recognition. The need for human recognition, it refers to the inherent desire to be acknowledged and valued by others. It involves being seen, heard, and appreciated for one's existence and contributions. For example, a person receives praise at work for their efforts, making them feel valued and recognized for their hard work and dedication. The opposite would be an individual who constantly contributes to a team project but never receives any acknowledgement or feedback, leading them to feel invisible and undervalued. There's a lot in that. So let's talk about the first part of that, which was the fulfillment of feeling recognized. Let's talk about social media. Mm-hmm. How do you feel recognized on social media?
How many like people put in your posts?
Right?
Yes.
So
how many view have your video?
Yeah. So people have, you know, and then also
comment. Oh my gosh.
Comments. Good comments. And then when someone's mad or mean to you on the comments, there's a study, and I believe it's in our presentation at some point, but it talks about those who spend more time on social media turn out to be more depressed. And part of it may be they're looking for likes and they're not getting them, and they're reliant upon that need for the recognition. The other is going back to the business thing where somebody's working in an office and sees recognition, that a study also shows that employees are more happy to get recognition than they are to get a raise. They're happy to get both, but if you just keep getting raises and you don't get recognized, you can feel undervalued no matter how much you get paid.
Yeah.
So recognition, really important.
It's important. Yeah.
Hi there. Hi, Lizette. I see you.
Yes, I like that's the topic that you do today. It's amazing.
The topic. Thank you. That's wonderful.
Is that our topic?
So, well, let's move on to the second need. Oh, I like this one. This is the need for physical contact, which no one can see us doing right now because I have the slide up.
It's so much touching.
The need for physical contact is the requirement for touch and physical closeness to others. This can include hugs and handshakes and other forms of non-sexual physical interaction. For example, a child receives a comforting hug from a parent after a tough day at school, providing a sense of safety and love. Now, the opposite deficiency would be an elderly person living alone rarely experiences physical touch, leading to feelings of isolation and loneliness. Let's talk about internet isolation. Mm-hmm. People on social media that aren't in contact with others.
Yeah.
So they're trying to seek that recognition, and they are trying to seek it through social media.
Yes, through the glass.
Through likes, through the glass. And the more they try to seek it through the glass, the more depressed they typically are. So get off the computer and get out with others. That's the number one thing to happiness. Do things. And then the physical contact, the physicalness, you know, it's not only physical contact, but it's the need to have physical things going on in your life. Yeah. Very important.
And also the other day, I have make a comment with a group in the meeting, the comparative meeting online versus in the conference room. And the way that you can see the eyes with the people, they can see completely the body language, that you can see the environment, the moment that you have a topic, you lose this. And maybe sometimes the people not turn around the camera, you just see the presentation and listen. So it's many, many information that you lose, and then you feel like that you are in one box alone.
And interaction is very important. We talked about struggle as being important for developing the brain as well as for developing muscles, right? So your instincts and survival instincts are developed through actual interaction, but your muscles and your brain are also developed through. There's another study that I looked at which talked about animals that are animals of prey and those that are prey. So those that are attacking other animals and those that are hiding. And it talks about how they try and they learn. And as they learn, they develop new skills. But at the same time, there's a bunch of stuff that's within us that's innate. And it's innate because we are products of our evolution. So birds tend to fly. They don't have to be taught to fly. You know, they start falling and they struggle, and all of a sudden they find themselves flying. They don't go to class to fly.
Yeah.
Humans walk. They really don't have to be taught. But what do we get? We have to be taught how to swim, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. So even though we've been swimming for a long time, we have to still be taught how to swim.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that if for years and years and years they just kept throwing humans in the water and only the ones that could swim would survive, who knows, maybe we'd be, you know, automatic natural swimmers. Which is interesting. Babies learn how to swim pretty quickly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I see so many videos, yeah.
So that's interesting. So physical contact, physicalness is very important. Spiritual fulfillment. The need for spiritual fulfillment involves a desire for meaning, purpose, and connection to something greater than oneself. It kind of answers the, why am I here? What's the meaning of life? This can be through religion, meditation, or other spiritual practices. It helps make you calm. Fulfillment, example of one. A person regularly attends religious service and participates in community activities, finding a sense of purpose and belonging in their faith. And an example of deficiency would be an individual who feels disconnected from any spiritual belief or practices, leading to a sense of emptiness and lack of direction in life. Perhaps even going on the internet and telling people why religion is so silly. So sometimes I think people who are like, I can't believe, well, you know, you look at religion and you can say, some people say, oh, it causes war, it causes this. Yes, the maladaptation, the misuse of religion can do those things. People can have cultural differences and religious differences and where they are, geographic differences, and they can say we're fighting over a land, but then now you throw in the religious portion of it too. And, you know, it's like teams of people. You ever see, like, the Yankees play Boston? The fans just hate the other team. And it's, so, you know, is baseball a religion to some?
Yeah, or the politics.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
So people hate each other. The politics have a lunch together, and everybody fighting each other.
They have drinks and lunch together, and then they go back to the theater, theater of politics. Exactly. Oh, I don't like them. They don't like me. Get off camera. Hey, let's have some. Yeah. Let's have a party. That's what they do. What else do we have on here? So the next one, other than spiritual fulfillment, we are going to mental stimulation, thinking. Conversations like this, Lizette.
Mm-hmm.
The need for mental stimulation is the desire to engage the mind with challenging, interesting, and novel activities. It involves learning, problem solving, and intellectual engagement. For example, a person who regularly reads books, engages in stimulating conversations, and participates in puzzles and games that challenge their intellect. Preparing for a show like this. An individual who is showing signs of deficiency could be in a monotonous job with no opportunity for learning or intellectual growth, leading to boredom and mental stagnation. And I always think of that as the person who sits there by themselves in their office, and maybe they're the accountant. You know, they're not connected to sales or marketing. They're really just counting dollars and cents. And so it might be nothing challenging. It may be not having interactions. So they don't have the physical contact, no mental stimulation.
Yeah. No, I saw this point remind me of some person talking about how do strategy marketing.
Mm.
And the different generations. So, and remind me when he say right now the some people just take one app. It depends how the music you like. They prepare the set for 3 hour music. What do you like? But you know, pick. It's just you say okay, I like 3 or 4 different single famous, okay. And then create everything. And also, I remember when I was child, I don't know you have this experience, but I did. They have a cassette, so I is wearing the radio, so it's one song that I can't take this song, and it's because it's stopped before the commercial coming, and then I doing something, how other song coming, and I tape, so I create my cassette with a lot of song catching from the radio.
Yes.
So that is effort.
Yes.
That's
waiting for it.
Waiting for
it.
It take a more time, but it's something that you doing versus right now. You say, okay, like this done.
And they used to announce the songs that were coming up.
Yeah.
And maybe they announced the songs that were coming up because of that. I'm thinking of that. Yeah. Like now they don't do that anymore. They just, here's the songs. They're just playing, mm-hmm. you know, but.
Back to the emotional was connection and
sure.
the knee and the brain and the do action. Yeah.
So we had the little AM radio. AM radio was one channel. It wasn't stereo.
FM.
But,
AM.
Yeah, FM. Yeah. And then you had FM stereo. It was great. Great. What's that? I don't know.
I don't know.
Grandma, either. What's that? Grandpa. Yeah. So going back to this, the mental stimulation is very important. So let's go to emotional connection. And this is our fifth need that we are claiming. And if you see how these needs go, I want to go back to why we pick these needs. Because we always talk about mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and then we said social was our new fifth connection that is important in the needs of humans. So these are the pieces of us today where social connection sometimes becomes an overriding spiritual thing in a way. And they both fall into the superego. So I don't know if you mm-hmm. are aware of this, that the rules, our beliefs, our values, as well as the societal consequences, they somehow end up in our superego. So when we're looking to do something, it's pushing us to do stuff in a way that is correct, you know, the right way of doing it, at least the right way from our beliefs and what society says, right?
Exactly.
Might not be the right thing. The need for emotional connection, deep, meaningful relationships with individuals who allow us to feel understood, supported, and emotionally bonded with others. For instance, a person has a close group of friends and whom they can share their feelings, experiences, and receive emotional support during tough times. On the other hand, someone who's experiencing deficiency, they feel emotionally distant from those around them, unable to form close relationships, resulting in feelings of loneliness and alienation. So emotional connections, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Tim,
we'll talk more about the will to survive and how today's society may be impacting and threatening the ability for us to survive.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back. Human survival is linked to the fulfillment of the fundamental needs. Now, Maslow has his five basic needs that starts off with place to live, right? So something to protect
food.
You, then food, clothing, and it goes up to self-actualization, which is like this self-fulfillment of your mm-hmm. destiny.
Yeah, you have the job that you like and the family that you're looking for.
You become a superhero, you learn how to fly, all those things, right? So we're ignoring his five and we're going to our five. The idea is that modern threats jeopardize these human needs. The ones that we talk about are jeopardized by today's society. The human recognition was one of the first ones we talked about, the desire to be acknowledged, valued, and respected. It's fundamental for self-esteem and belonging. How it arrives to us is in praise, awards, and being listened to. So human recognition fulfillment of this would be, as we talked about, when you are fulfilled, it will boost your self-worth and give you motivation. Examples, workplace recognition and praise, as we said, was almost more important than raises. Children praised for achievements help develop confidence. And I just read a study on that where it talked about not that you did a good job at it, but you did a good job in figuring out how to do it was more important than telling them they did a good job doing. Like, oh, that's a beautiful piece of artwork is different than, I really like how you drew this, how you chose your colors.
Yeah, the path.
The path.
Yeah.
The actual process of doing process, it, not just the end thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a difficult thing, because I remember as a kid trying to thank relatives for presents, and they were like, thank you for the book, rather than, hey, thank you for selecting this book for me. This really fit the things I'm interested in. I know you went out of your way to do it. Like, it something that I could never do when I was younger is express anything. Imagine that, huh?
Mm-hmm. That is the reason for this show.
That's it. So when you're deficient in recognition, you can feel invisible and worthless. It can result in mental health issues like depression and anxiety. Only 1 in 3 workers received recognition in the past week. Again, showing that recognition is important and that people are actually able to say, yeah, I didn't receive any recognition this week. So people know that, right? They know that things aren't working well where they work. So what are the modern challenges to recognition? Social media promotes superficial recognition, likes, right? AI lacks ability to promote meaningful recognition, so AI really can't have that interaction with you. Instagram's algorithm favors sensational posts. So this is one of the things I wanted to talk about, which is we automatically mimic, right? So mimicry in humans is a part of our survival. That when we're able to copy others facially, our actions, when we all have to go hunt together, this was very important for human existence, for survival. Today, what we are mimicking are Instagram posts that have nothing to do with survival-based activity.
Hmm.
Right? It's doing something stupid. It's actually doing things that are the opposite of survival. Falling, getting injured. It's most Instagram/social media posts are about exciting, wonderful, exaggerated things with filters, and we even look different. So it's like, imagine, have you ever met somebody that you saw on Instagram and you're like, that's not them?
Yeah, you see that, and when you see in the real life, you say, oh my gosh.
It reminds me of a Star Trek episode where there was a beautiful man and a beautiful woman, and it turned out to be these two little creatures that were just using a projection on the screen because they wanted to impress Captain, what was his name? The original Star Trek guy. It's a long time ago. Memory's not doing well right now. It's one of the modern challenges. Physical contact, that was the second thing we talked about. Crucial for emotional well-being and social bonding. Vital for human development and relationships. Hugs, handshakes, and physical closeness. We talked about that. Let's talk about the fulfillment. Oh, this was interesting, and I think we've talked about this in the past as well.
Mm-hmm.
That this contact will release oxytocin. Oxytocin promotes bonding and reduces stress. Examples, a comforting hug alleviates anxiety. Research, oxytocin lowers stress and improves mood. You sent me a video a couple weeks ago. You remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Hug for 30 seconds, a kiss for 6 seconds.
And we practice.
And we practice it, and it releases oxytocin, and we feel so much better. Oh, so relaxed. Oh. So that's a good thing to do. Deficiency is bad. So let's go about modern challenges with touching. Technological advancements reduce opportunities, meaning that we don't have to go to the office anymore. We don't have to be with people. Digital communication surpasses face-to-face interactions today. 85% used video calls during the pandemic. Almost nobody saw each other in the office. So that's a difficulty. Spiritual fulfillment, right? That was another one that was positive. Pursuit of meaning, purpose, and connection. Very necessary in our lives. We had a show a couple of weeks ago where we talked about when people have a mission and a vision statement, it makes others happier to be with them. Spiritual fulfillment can be met through religious practices and meditation. It provides purpose and inner peace. So let's talk about deficiencies in that. It can lead to the feeling of emptiness and lack of direction. Increases the risk of depression, anxiety, and hopelessness. Low levels of spiritual fulfillment can be an example of a deficiency, the resulting deficiency. Modern challenges of spiritual fulfillment would be secularization and disinformation undermine fulfillment. So let's stay away from religion. Let's keep religion out of all aspects of our life. Let's not put a tree or a menorah or something of religious value in the public eye. Social media spreads disinformation about religion, kind of like was started at the beginning of the show when I was talking to you about the creation of the universe. Example, 23% encountered religious disinformation online. 23%, I think that's 23% just this week, right? Mental stimulation, I think, is the last thing on our list for this, which is helps us in learning, problem solving, intellectual engagement. These things are very necessary to feel fulfilled. It helps maintain a mental sharpness. And what happens with deficiency? It can lead to boredom and cognitive decline. Your neurons can just snap and go away. Your synapses may say, you have no need for me. Remember we talked about pruning, synaptic pruning. That's a natural thing that happens in your brain. You lose it if you don't use it. It increases the risk of neurodegenerative disease, lacking mental stimulating activities can cause your brain to stop functioning. So you got to keep pushing it. Crossword puzzles, right?
Yeah, I guess
math
also
puzzles, logic puzzles.
A lot of auction can be medicine, can be drug, can be stuff. So make it more easy to say, you don't have a problem. Take this pill and your problem is gone. Versus try to figure out in your mind how you solve the problem.
So if we're missing those five things in our life, we may feel depressed. Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to solve those five things, the five human needs, we then go to see a doctor. We then have, what do they say, like one out of five children, or I'm making up a number now, but it used to be one in hundreds of children had ADHD, and now it's one in 50 children have ADHD. Whatever the number is, you understand that it's much, much, much higher today. Now, it may be that it's just more diagnosed today, but it also may be a more easy diagnosis. Just, hey, if you're having these issues, then you have this, and then we can prescribe you this.
And they prescribe, right. Make a money.
Right. So instead of having to become mentally resilient and have to work on your attention,
So somebody say, why you go to the doctor, say you have the high cholesterol like I have. So why not create a diet? Why not create the exercise life? They make a prescription for how you change your life to reduce your cholesterol. No, you have the pill for cholesterol.
And don't eat grapefruit while you take that pill because it may lower your cholesterol too much and it might be dangerous. So you're saying grapefruit might lower my cholesterol and I don't need this pill? Oh, no, I can't tell you that because I'm a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. That's it. So teenagers spend 7+ hours on screens daily. Did you know that? That's a study.
Wow.
Seven hours. AI reduces the need for critical thinking. How we started this show saying that AI can do a good job in presenting things, but do you know if that information is correct? Do you know the underlying statistics and documentation that go into it? We've had to change the show on the fly as we were going to go to the real studies and real information that originated the show itself. That relying upon AI to put a presentation together can destroy the actual content that you're trying to offer.
Yeah.
So you can create a lot of content, but it can all be, I can't say it.
Correct.
It can be not correct. It can be untrue. So for emotional connection, we need deep, meaningful relationships. A lot of times that's close relationships with family, friends, partners, business associations as well. And when it's negative, how do we have challenges? Well, social isolation impacts health like smoking. So, well, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to hang, I'm bored, I'm going to start smoking. It creates an increase in mental health issues when we're emotionally disconnected, and it is leading to distress, emotional distress. So what are some of the challenges that lead to emotional deficiency? Increased social media use can increase loneliness. Reliance upon social media for connection rather than friends. It's superficial interactions and idealized self-presentation. It undermines genuine connections and provides a false interaction with people who are acting fake as well. So we're all become fake on social media.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, that's why having a show where we get to talk to each other, we are at least, and being this long of a show, it's really hard to keep up any fake, keep up any fake personality through a 45-minute show. Let's continue on with this as we ramble into the end of the show in a second here, where we're going to give you 5 tips on how to revive the survival instinct by fulfilling those 5 basic human needs. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
We're going to give you the steps to strengthen human resilience and to increase your survival instincts. To address these modern challenges that we just talked about and strengthen human resilience and survival instincts, we can take the following steps. Number one, promote authentic recognition and validation for others. Encourage genuine recognition and validation in both personal and professional settings. This can be achieved through regular feedback, praise, and acknowledgement of individuals' efforts and contributions. Create a culture of appreciation, and how you do that, it can enhance a self-esteem. Let's try that again. By creating a culture of appreciation, you can enhance self-esteem and motivation. These things are really good in helping address that. So what else do we have here? Foster physical connection. Prioritize opportunities for physical contact and closeness, even in a digital age. This can include organizing in-person gatherings, promoting physical activities that involve touch, like sports and dance. Also, encourage physical affection within families and in communities. These are good tips. Encourage spiritual exploration. Support individuals in exploring and fulfilling their spiritual needs. Talk to them about their beliefs. This can involve providing access to religious services, meditation classes, and spiritual retreats for your family, for your friends, or maybe promote this at work. Not that you need to do this and promote this at work, but you know what? Maybe we have an interfaith lunch when we actually talk to others about this stuff, rather than say, oh, you can't talk to anybody about anything. Create spaces for spiritual reflection and community. It can enhance a sense of purpose and inner peace.
So it's important to separate spiritual versus religion. It's two different concepts, but the people believe is the same.
I think you can say, hey, based upon your religion, what are your spiritual beliefs?
Yeah, exactly.
Not what is your religion. Mm-hmm. So, like, what do you believe? What do you believe about the afterlife? What do you believe about us and how we're connected? What do you believe about the world?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Enhance mental stimulation. Have a show like ours on YouTube,
yeah,
on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Promote lifelong learning and intellectual engagement through diverse educational opportunities. Encourage activities that challenge the mind, such as reading, puzzles, and creative hobbies. Integrate critical thinking and problem-solving skills into educational curricula to foster intellectual growth. And I think finally, strengthen emotional connections. Facilitate the formation of deep, meaningful relationships by encouraging open communication and emotional support. Create environments that foster trust and understanding, such as support groups, community centers, and social clubs. And finally, we, as a society, can address social isolation by promoting inclusive and supportive communities. By doing these things, we hope to help fulfill people in their basic human needs as well as increase their survival instincts for ongoing humanity. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate. Have a great and surviving week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.